Things a little bit hotter than it was this morning. I heard Brother James ask some of the saints this morning if they heard over the microphone. And some of them couldn't. And it probably won't take you long, just in my natural voice, to know that maybe that's a blessing. That maybe this thing getting very loud. And I don't intentionally do that. I've never thought that that's portraying any sort of power in the gospel that's not in someone that speaks softly. It's just their men have different personalities. They have different ways of trying to preach. And I promise, if y'all ever met my daddy, y'all think I was real quiet. real quiet. He's a lot louder in voice than I am. But we've had a blessed day with you here at Union this morning, and enjoyed so much the blessings of the visit over to the Young home, and to be able to spend that time with them and with others from here. I was able to bring my 7-year-old son. He's the next to the youngest of our children, and I watch him be able to go in and out among the people of God here, and I believe he is, but my prayer is that these sort of occasions would be something that he has, that he treasures as far as the memories of it, of being able to spend time with the Lord's people. And, I know I have. And I do beg an interest in your prayers. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11, and pray that the Lord would bless us to be able to speak to you tonight on the subject of faith, and that it would be profitable and glorifying unto the Lord, that it would be edifying unto you. And I want to begin to read with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the hall of faith. We understand that these people that are spoken about here in this chapter are sinners, just like you, just like me. You know, to a group of old Baptists on Saturday night, me calling you that, it doesn't ruffle your feathers at all. Y'all believe that and understand that we are sinners. We believe, of course, I trust, that Jesus paid for our sins, but when He paid for them, it didn't mean that we wouldn't commit them anymore. It meant that the record of them was removed from glory by His blood. But we're sinners. So were these that we've read about already, and the others listed throughout this chapter, where we read about their faith and where we read about the things that they did. And I don't believe these were ones, whenever we read their names, I don't believe they were ones looking for the fame, if you will, of having notoriety in the Word of God, that somehow they would be lifted up to something other than what they were. But nevertheless, God saw fit in His Word to record the actions of these people and to be able to tell us about things that they did. You know, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, is what the Scripture says. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And I believe that those things that were written aforetime were things in the Old Testament. Things about these ones that we read about here in chapter 11. And we read about their faith, and we see things about their faith even right here in these verses. And surely if we were to return to the origins where these ones are spoken about, we would maybe go into more depth about their life and things that they faced and the challenges that were there and their walk with the Lord. But here in this chapter, you just kind of find a little snippet of a description of something that they did, as being described as one who were elders and ones who walked by faith and ones who, according to the Scriptures, that by their faith, they obtained a good report. You know, that ought to be a goal of any of ours. I don't think that that's something that any of us should shy away from. You know, again, not that we would lift ourselves up, but you know, I would, that whenever my children think of me, that they think about me as being a faithful person. That I pray that they do. I know that I fall short. I know all of us do, but I hope that whenever they think of their daddy, that they think of a man who has faith in the Lord. Whenever I think about my daddy, I grew up on a farm. I grew up and I believe there's a reason why a lot of the parables in Scripture are spoken in an agrarian topic, on agrarian topics. And the reason why is because a man who works this ground and a man who tills this ground and works this ground understands his dependence upon a greater source in order to be able to have any prosperity in what he's doing. And so was the case with the ones that Jesus spoke to. They were common men. They were working men and women. They were ones who understood where the source of their blessings came from. And unless the Lord had sent the rain from above, that they wouldn't have what they stood in need of. And so I think, whenever I think about my daddy, I think about a faithful man, a man who prayed with us whenever I was growing up, that the Lord would grant unto us certain things that we needed. And as we see these things here in Hebrews chapter 11, if the Lord would be with me, I would that the Lord would bless us to be able to see why these men here in these places, and I keep saying ones because it's not just men that are mentioned here throughout this whole chapter, but that the ones that we mention here in these places, that we'd be able to see what they had faith in and what they trusted in, so that you and I would not just be able to see what it was that they had faith in and that they were blessed to be able to have because of their trust, but that you and I might trust in the same things that they trusted in. You know, I love that hymn that says that God is just the same today, don't you? I believe that the same God that they trusted in is the same God that you and I trust in. I believe that the same things that they stood in need of are the same things that you and I stand in need of. And I believe that whenever we see these examples in Scripture, and whenever we see this subject of faith unveiled like this to us, where we read about these ones, and that in the next chapter we're told that wherefore we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that we would take that description of these ones and say, here are our witnesses. Here are the ones that are testifying. Even though they're in the grave, they yet speak unto us of how good the Lord was to them. You know, I believe the Lord's been good to us. I believe anything that we receive of God is better than we deserve. I believe any good thing that God gives us is greater than we deserve. We are not worthy. We are not deserving of the least of God's mercies. Not the least of them. Not a one of us. Not one of us save the presence of Jesus Christ within us. And if we're born again of the Spirit of God, that is indeed the case. He dwells within us. Save the presence of Jesus Christ within us. There's not one good thing about us. But yet, here we read about how good the Lord is to us. Here we read about how ones had faith in the Lord. Faith. You know, did we wake up one morning and just get it? Did we wake up one morning and just say, I'd like to have faith today? I would that, that we could just drum it up out of thin air and that it'd just be ours. You know, that's not what the Bible tells us about where faith comes from. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and what? And faith. We have faith because Jesus dwells within us. You know, we have natural faith just by nature. You don't have to be born again of the Spirit of God to sit on a church pew and have faith that it's going to hold you up. You know, Elder Jack Anderson served Ephesus Church, where I now serve for many years. And I don't know if any of y'all were you blessed to ever meet Brother Jack? That's Elder Rick Stewart's grandpa, if y'all have ever met Brother Rick. Just a saint of a man, a veteran, old Baptist minister for many years. And he used the analogy of natural faith. He said, you know, when I was a child, and I think he had 9 or 10 brothers and sisters, and he said they came into church and they got there a little late, and his mom and daddy sat them all on a church pew there in Ephesus Church while the singing was going, and he said all of a sudden the legs came out from under that pew and bam, the whole pew just hit the floor right there in the middle of the church service. And he said, I've never been as embarrassed as I was then in my life. You know, that there we were. We had gotten there and started and were singing along and all. But you know, there the natural faith that they had to be seated on that church pew, it failed them that day. Their confidence in something natural failed them. Well, I want to tell you, whenever it comes to your spiritual faith and you trusting in the one who has blessed you to be able to have faith in Him, I want to tell you something about Him. He will not let you down. He will never let you down. And that's the one that we trust in. But what is it that we read about these ones? The first one we read about is Abel. The Scripture tells us that by faith Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You know, again, I've already mentioned, and I know It's a night service, and I wouldn't endeavor to have us to be here all night. My internal clocks says it's almost 9 o'clock. So I certainly that's an advantage in some ways. But I'm not gonna go back and read about the account, but y'all seen it. That Cain brought what? He brought the work of his hand. But Abel brought a lamb. You know, both of them brought an offering unto the Lord. One brought the labors of his own hands. The other brought a lamb. The Bible tells us that whenever they brought those offerings unto the Lord, that the Lord had respect unto the offering of Abel, but he did not have respect of the offering that Cain brought him. Cain brought something that came forth of his own effort, that came forth of his own works, and yet Abel, he brought a lamb. A lamb. You know, I believe that, you know, I don't think it's by hap that a lamb was mentioned there in that offering, do you? Do you think it's just by hap that Abel brought a lamb, or do you think that's a mention there of something that points forward to a lamb? You know, I don't think it's by hap that the Lord in His law service that He required the blood of a lamb. I believe that points forward to something greater, and not just a lamb, but the same lamb that whenever John the Baptist was standing there, that he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I want to tell you, Abel's trust in the lamb points forward to faith that you and I have in a lamb. Where's your faith tonight? Whenever it comes to what God would receive of us and what God would demand in order for us to be accepted of Him, you tell me what God requires in order for us to be accepted of Him. It's not about what we would accept of God. It's what God would accept of us. And I want to tell you, whenever it comes to God, His acceptance of us, it's not the work of our hands and it's not our efforts. I want to tell you what it required. It required a lamb. It required a lamb. The Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, tonight my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I'm going to tell you, if your faith is in anything else, if your faith is in you, I just want to tell you tonight, your faith is in something that'll fail you. It doesn't matter how well intentioned you may be in regards to taking care of something yourself. I'm going to tell you, simply because of what we are and our nature, we will fail. If your trust and your faith is in somebody else, as much as they may love you and as well-meaning as they are, I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, I want to tell you, whenever God the Father looks at me, I don't want Him to see another soul other than His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him to see His Son and His righteousness. And I tell you tonight, if that's the same thing that you desire that the Father would see of you, I want to encourage you to continue to have faith in the Lamb. And that's the same thing that we read about Abel, and that is that our faith is in the Lamb and not in ourselves. Tell you, my faith in the Lamb. My faith is in Jesus Christ representing me in a covenant that was made before the foundation of the world. That when God the Father chose His people to be His and chose them as His elect, that He gave them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in covenant before the foundation of the world. And it's those same ones that Jesus Christ died for on the cross at Calvary and shed His blood for. And whenever He shed His blood for them, little Lamb of God, I want to tell you that their sins were put away as far as the east is from the west. Do you believe that tonight? That whenever Jesus died for you on the cross, that your sins were removed? Not only just removed from you, but the record of them all together. I want to tell you what you're doing is you're just like Abel. You're trusting in the Lamb. Your trust and your faith is in the Lamb. You see, there's a lot of things that people would tell us and encourage us that whenever you get down to the root of what they're telling you, all they're really telling you is to trust in yourself. All they're really telling you is that the root of your hope is really in yourself. I'm going to tell you, even where I fail, and I do, even where one of His darling children fail, and they do, because of the Lamb, and because of what He did, and because of His success and what He accomplished on the cross at Calvary, I'll tell you this, child of God, tonight, what the Jesus has done has taken care of whatever it is that they have failed to do. Just like Abel. Oh, child of God, have faith in the Lamb. You know, Abel trusted in the Lamb, and the Lord acknowledged and acknowledged what? That made him righteous, his trust in the Lamb? Or it declared that what? He is righteous. Your trust won't make you righteous. Your trust declares that He has made you righteous. I tell you, I believe I'm righteous tonight, but it ain't because of what I've done. It's because of His making of me to be righteous. I believe that as by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, even so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I tell you, my faith tonight's in the Lamb. Is yours? Is your trust in Jesus Christ and the one who loved you and paid for your sins on the cross at Calvary? I tell you, just like Abel is mentioned here, and Abel is declared to have a good report. Oh, can't we think of the good report of those of yesteryear who believed and declared the same things that we try to believe tonight, that have gathered here at Union Primitive Baptist Church and have believed with every ounce of our being that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient in the courtrooms of glory to put away the sins of His people. Oh, their trust in Him. I want to tell you about their good report. You know, I haven't been in the area where I live now but about 5 years. And other than I grew up there, but I wasn't an old Baptist when I grew up there. So there's a lot of the saints that belonged there to those churches I now attend that I never had the privilege to meet. But if I were to mention their names, I believe if I mentioned the name Elder Pat Burge, y'all probably heard that name out here, hadn't you? Maybe so. Most of the time, he was known for his one-liners, if you will. Most of the time, people remember Brother Pat for his one-liners. You know, some of them would sting pretty hard. I'm kind of glad, I'm kind of glad some of them weren't directed at me, some of the ones I've heard that he'd say. You know, he introduced a preacher one time and said, he ain't much of a preacher, but he ain't apt to do you much harm. I said, well, I'm glad that wasn't me that maybe he said it about, but he's remembered a lot for his one-liners, if you will. But I tell you, he and his precious wife, they're buried in the ground there across the road from old Canucci Primitive Baptist Church. And I want to tell you what he declared all the days of his life, as he declared based upon the record of the ones who heard him preach and the ones that I still try to pastor who sat underneath his preaching, is I want to tell you what he encouraged his faith and trust in the Lamb. Oh, not in ourselves, but in the Lamb. Like Abel did, he said, My faith is in the Lamb. It's not in my works. It's in the Lamb. And it's in what the Lamb's going to do. I tell you, and what the Lamb represents. You know, you think about him. There's another one buried over there in Elder Manning Temples. Again, I don't know if y'all have heard some of these names, but that's Elder Gary Hall's daddy-in-law. He married Brother Manning's daughter. And I tell you, I'm among folks that were pastored by him. I'm among folks that he lived among. And I want to tell you, just as Abel's sacrifice and what he trusted in, I want to tell you all the days of these men's lives, whenever they stood before the Lord's people, what he encouraged them to do and what he told them to do is the same thing that Abel represents to us tonight. And that is that we would put our trust in the Lamb. Oh, I can't tell you to trust in a man tonight. I want to tell you to trust in the Lamb of God and what He did for you on the cross at Calvary. And if you believe it with all your heart, that is that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross at Calvary, I'm going to tell you there's a great rest to be obtained in what Jesus has done for you. Oh, I'm going to tell you, even if you fail to trust in it as you should, it doesn't remove His faithfulness in what the blood did. But I tell you, there's a great blessing in having faith in it and confidence in it. To trust and have faith in the Lamb. The next one is Enoch. By faith, Enoch, says, was translated that he should not see death. You know, when you go back and you read the record of Enoch, you know, the way that it's worded is that he walked with God and he was not. He walked with God and he was not. Now, based upon the record of the Scripture, you have him and you have the prophet Jeremiah that were taken up into in a whirlwind, and Elijah, excuse me, not Jeremiah. It's been a long day. I saw brother James squirm a little bit whenever I said that, and I said, you know, maybe I might have used the wrong name there. Elijah were taken up in a whirlwind. So was Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You know, there's a good portion of the Bible that's dedicated to our walk, to tell us about our walk. You know, I don't think that's just talking about how we put one foot in front of the other, by the way. You know, I know we all may have a different walk, if you will, by the way we walk. Some of us, our feet point out, some point in, some straight ahead. Some move shoulders, some move arms. It's a different whenever you're just talking about the physical movement of our walk. But whenever the Bible speaks to us about our walk, it's not just talking about our physical movement. It's just talking about our actions. It's talking about what we're remembered for. It's talking about whenever someone thinks of us, what is it that they think about and what is it that they picture that may describe us and the way in which we've lived our life and the way that we've conducted ourselves in the course of our life. And the Bible records here, here's a man. And we've already learned about Abel, and that is that his faith was in the Lamb. And here you read about a man who walked with God and was not. And that was that he was translated, that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Walk in his conduct. You know, there's a lot of experts in this world that we live in that love to tell us about a way that we ought to live and about a better way, about what would be the best way for us to do things and for us to conduct ourselves. You know, I don't mean to get off. You know, I've always learned that a hobby horse rides a little smoother in your own pastures, and if you know what I mean by that, I'm not getting off on a hobby horse out here in Mississippi. You know, I've mentioned Instagram this morning. Well, there's another social media that a lot of people are on is Facebook, and I didn't have any clue about it until just about a few short months ago. And I sort of wished I maybe had not. People say, well, Brother Will, you've had a page. That's Sister Allison's. It may have my name on it, but I didn't have it. But her phone went down. She put it on my phone, and all of a sudden I find myself checking it every once in a while like something's profitable that's on it. Usually not. And I will say that there are a lot of good things associated with it. Don't get me wrong, but there's way, way more maybe this detrimental than it is as good. But one of the things I see on there more often than not, real early in the morning, whenever me and Sister Allison get up, is that there's a lot of women that have declared themselves to be preachers. And they've got a pulpit right in front of that screen, and that's where they do their preaching to folks that are going to listen to them. And you say, Brother Will, do you listen to them? I do not. I do not. I see that they are on there, but I do not. I've listened to them enough to be able to know that what they're exhorting and what they're encouraging is not in accordance with thus saith the word. Even from the standpoint of the exercise of what they're doing, it's not in accordance with thus saith the word. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, is what Scripture says. And whenever it comes to our walk and our conduct, if this world looks upon us and said, boy, y'all are backwards, boy, you've got it all wrong, so be it. Enoch, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God and was not, and that he pleased God in what he did. And I want to tell you, child of God, oh, where is our faith tonight? Is our faith in the way and the will of God, or in the ways of this world that we live in? I tell you, a lot has probably changed since the days of Enoch in regards to the actions of people, but deep down in the root of a lot of it, I'm going to tell you, a lot of it's the same. And I tell you, the same God that Enoch walked with, and I believe he walked with God. And I don't want to say in a lot less light from the standpoint that we ought to be lifted up, but I want to tell you what he didn't have was the 66 books that you and I are blessed to be able to have tonight. What he had was not the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ like you and I are blessed to be able to have. What he didn't have was the household of faith like you and I are blessed to be able to have. But yet the Bible says that this man walked with God and was not. And whenever he walked with God, he pleased God. Oh, that we would just trust in the walk that God has placed before us. As the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, and that is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, if we've professed to believe in Jesus, and the saints at Ephesus had, there's a reason why he's writing unto them, and he tells them to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And that is that, you know, vocation, that word is a lot the same way that we use it today. Y'all got vocational schools out here, don't you? That's a place where you learn a trade and where you learn how to work. You know, your home in heaven is not based on your work. But your record of your life and what people remember you for is in a great way tied to your work and your walk and what people think about. Oh, I would that whenever someone thought about the way I try to walk, that they would think about someone that just tried to please God. I'm going to tell you, whenever you try to please man, I'm going to give you a head start on it right here. You probably ain't going to accomplish it. You're probably not going to achieve it anyway. But the thought that the God of heaven that created this world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, the God of all glory that spoke this world into existence, the God of all glory that has all power and is the possessor of the cattle of a thousand hills, the God of all glory, that we would be able to please Him ought to be mighty humbling to us, that we would trust and that we would walk with God. Oh, little child of God today, you know, people see us whether or not we know they see us. You know, I've told this story a dozen times if I've told it once. But if you've got a better one to fit it, I'll use yours. And if you don't want me to use your name with it, I won't use your name with it. I'll just say some brother or some sister from Mississippi told me this. But I'll never forget whenever me and Sister Allison were serving Macedonia Church, we rented a house on a chicken farm for 4 years. Well, my daddy was worried about it whenever he come over and saw where we were going to live. He said, "Do y'all not see them chicken houses out there in the back?" And I said, "I do see those chicken houses." And my wife spoke up and said, "Well, the folks who live on that farm said, well, they live next to it." He said, "Yeah, but they making money off of it, darling. It's going to smell a little bit worse to y'all than it is to them living right here by it." But we lived in a house that was built in the 40s and had a little bedroom added on to it about 20 years before we moved in it. But you know, one of the things that we saw moving into a house that was built so long ago is there was absolutely no closet space in that house, which tells us a big difference about the way we live now versus the way they lived back then. We didn't have anywhere to store anything. We had clear plastic tubs slid under beds. I mean, if you come by it and you caught it at the wrong angle, you'd stump your toe, sure as the world. We had them as wide as we could get them to be able to get the stuff that we were storing in there. I didn't have any room for my shoes. Sister Allison, you know, bless her heart, I'm not even going to go there. You'd rather know. She needed the room for the shoes. I didn't have any room for my shoes. I had a little spot right between the commode and the sink in one of those bathrooms in order for my shoes. I'd slide my shoes right in there, and I'd feel like I just, you know, I was living, couldn't have been any happier with the way we were living and among the Lord's people and living in that little house there. But I had a little spot there where I could slide my boots in, and I just felt like I wasn't in anybody's way. And I'd roll up my belt whenever I took my boots off, and I'd put it in my boots, and I'd slide it right there. You know, we got home from church one Sunday, and Allison came to me, and she said, "I want to show you something." And I went in there to that bathroom where I had my boots slid in there with my belt rolled up in it, and right there out of the way. And I want to tell you, there was a little pair of boots about that long with a belt rolled up in them. Stuff down in them slid right there next to mine. That wasn't his storage spot. But he saw where his daddy was storing it. He saw what his daddy was doing. And I want to tell you, little child of God, if you don't think that there aren't eyes watching us, and it's not that we desire to please those eyes are watching us, I want to tell you we desire to please the one whose eyes never leave us and whose eyes are always upon us. But oh, I believe it's important that whenever those eyes that are around us see us, that we're just like old Enoch, that we're walking with the Lord. That, you know, I would, and I believe y'all would too, that the Lord would just return, that we wouldn't see death as the saints of old have, but He'd just return and take us up in the whirlwind and glorify us. And oh, I'm sure all of us would rejoice that it would be as quickly as it could. But oh, if it doesn't come quickly, may all the days of our life, may we have faith to walk with our Lord and have faith in the way that He tells us to walk. To have faith in the old past, to have faith in the way that for 2,000 years has carried the people of God and maintained them in the truth that we now desire to stand in today. I believe that's a path well trodden and one good, one that'll do to walk in and to be able to live in. I tell you, faith in the Lamb, faith in the blood of the Lamb, faith in the walk of the Lord. By faith, Noah, you come on down by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Move with fear, the Scripture tells us, to the preparing of an ark, to the saving of His house. Now you want to talk about one that was probably viewed by those around as doing something just about as out of the way as somebody would do. You know, I don't know if y'all have been up there, but a couple of weeks before we came out here back in 2018, my family and I went to the Ark up in Kentucky. And I don't know if y'all have been there. I'm glad we went. I don't feel like I need to go again, but I'm glad we went. And I don't feel like I needed to see it in order to believe it's just like it was in the Word of God whenever we read about it. Whenever I saw it, I didn't need that in order to confirm that what God's Word said was true, but I appreciate the science that was done behind it and the research. I didn't like the end of it. And that is where they get you to sit down there and they try to tell you that there's room for the ark on the ark for you. And if you'll just get on, then you can be saved and go to heaven too. We bypassed that. You know, some of the people that were there kind of looked at us like, why are they walking around this part? Why aren't they going to sit there and listen to that with everybody else? Well, we just kind of went around and went on our way. But I tell you, in Noah's day, whenever Noah was told to do something, Noah had faith in the Word of God. And Noah had faith that what God had told him was going to come to pass. And whenever he had faith and trust in the Word of the Lord, and I'll tell you tonight, if there's something that you can have confidence in, just like you can have confidence in the blood of the Lamb, and you can have confidence in the way that God tells us to walk, you can have confidence in the Word of our Lord whenever He says something. And He told Noah that He was going to judge this earth. And Noah believed Him. Noah had faith in what He told him. You see, every child of God, whenever they're blessed to be able to be born again of the Spirit of God, they have love, they have joy, they have meekness, they have the capability of doing every single one of those right on down to faith. But I want to tell you, this chapter is not about people who just possessed something. This chapter is about them utilizing what God had given them, and He gave them the capacity to be able to exercise their faith and trust in the true and living God. And oh, you and I are charged with the same thing tonight. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe this is God's Word? I tell you, it's done well for the English-speaking people, I'll say that. And you let me know, based upon the contents of it, not based upon somebody's narrative and so on and so forth, why, what reason we've got to question it. It's the Word of our Lord. It's what God has said. And I tell you what God has said, you and I can have faith in tonight. I want to tell you what God has spoken. And you can go right on down, and I'm not going. You say, Brother Will, are you going to go down through these one by one? No. I hope I've made my point by now, but even the next one that's mentioned is Abraham, who had what? Faith in the promises of God. You and I should desire and endeavor to exercise our faith in the promises of God. I tell you, He's promised some things that are near and dear to us, hadn't He? He's promised us that He's coming back for us. He's promised us that He's going to return from glory and take us home to be with Him. That promise means something to me. Does it mean something to y'all tonight? This promise, the promise that the Lord has given me, tells me that even though after whenever I die and skin worms may destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I believe that God has told us that one grand and glorious day that there's going to be a resurrection and we're going to be blessed to be able to go to heaven to be with Jesus for all eternity. That sounds a heap better than this old world, doesn't it? That sounds a heap better than where we dwell now. I tell you, that's a promise from the Lord. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Well, I was speaking to Sister Jenny earlier, talking about leaving. She was making sure we knew where the youngins were whenever we left y'all's house. Made sure we wouldn't leave. You say, Brother Will, you mean tell me y'all might leave a youngin? Guilty. We've got six. We've got five boys and one girl, and that fourth one of ours, our third son, he has a way of not being where he needs to be whenever we load. And for some reason, that little short rascal, whenever we look back there, we think he's there. And yeah, we've pulled off. We'd have had him before. We've done it. From church and to church. Pulled out to go to Vidalia Old Line one morning, and we got about a mile down the road, and my daddy called and said, Samuel, going to church with y'all this morning? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, you better come back and get him. He's standing right here up under the carport, never got in the van. We failed. We failed to make sure and not leave nor forsake. And we're capable of it. But I want to tell you, God has given you a promise that He'll never leave nor forsake you. And that's the God that we serve. Do you have faith in that tonight? I tell you, that's a promise Oh, that the Lord would bless us to be able to walk like these men of old. Oh, that we'd not only walk like them, but I'm sure whenever you read down through these descriptions, there's probably a vivid imagery of somebody that you've known in your life that you love and respect a great deal, and that you wonder how you'd be where you are in life without them because of the walk of faith that they had. Oh, you're not worshiping them by appreciating them. You're not worshiping them by recognizing what they did during their life and the walk that they represented. I'm going to tell you what you're doing is just like the Lord tells us to do here in Hebrews chapter 11 when He reminds us that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses here from the Word of God. The Lord's blessed us with witnesses right here in this very world in which we live. The witnesses of people who had faith in our Lord. The same Lord that they believed in and that they had faith in. That they trusted in the Lamb of God. That they trusted in the walk with God. That they trusted in the Word of God and in the promises of God. Oh, I tell you, those same things are right there for us to place our trust in tonight. Oh, that the Lord would bless us to do it. That the Lord would be glorified in us doing it. You know, sometimes I find that as I'm mentioning these things, I speak about all the benefits they bring to us. You know, if we didn't have one benefit for it, if it didn't do anything other than glorify our Lord, it'd be worth doing, wouldn't it? Of just glorifying God. Oh, may the Lord bless us to do it. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's true. An unregenerate, wicked man cannot please God. They don't have faith. They cannot do it. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That doesn't mean in the new birth that you've got to believe that He is. In the new birth you do come to Him. In the new birth you are given eternal life. But after being born again of the Spirit of God, and you're blessed to be able to hear these things about the Lord, oh, that whenever we come to Him, that we would believe that He is. That we would come to Him in discipleship and believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, that we would desire to seek Him and please Him in these things. Oh, as that's my prayer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention tonight.